never did, you know, nothing drop my spirit or nothing. But, you know, over the years, I started listening to him whenever it was possible. But we listened to that telethon, and we had preaching all day, all night. When I come in, Teresa would have it on. And I believe that played a big part in our foundational structure and strength in the Lord back when we was in our 20s. I was 27 years old, and Teresa was about 22 or 3, something like that. I mean, we were really young and when we got saved. But we should have got saved when we were younger than that, but we were in our early 20s. And we was listening. I was thinking about some things today, and I felt like tonight it just ought to be testimony night. You know? And I started thinking about how the Apostle Paul, when he'd write letters to the churches, you know, he would tell them, in my stocks and buns, I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus. And I thought all he was doing was testifying to that church. You know, he was giving testimony, then he would encourage them, this is for your furtherance, this is for your benefit, you know. And so I started thinking about a lot of the things that God has did in my life over the last 30 years, you know, and I've endeavored, you know, all of these years, what God has did for me to express it and release it to where all we wanted was a good life. I mean, that's really all we wanted, men, Tracy. We wanted a good life, a home, this and that, you know, back yonder. And then we got a hold of Jesus. And he began to show us a way. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And we build on that. You know, once we get born again, we build on that. What came into us, the salvation that came into us. And we don't need to stay just mediocre Christians in our thinking, in our heart, you know, halfway believing God. I mean, just lay it all out. You know, lay it all out to him. You don't have to understand. You don't have to have it all figured out, because he already made a plan for my life. He's already planned my life, and I've endeavored to follow him. And when you endeavor to follow him, you don't have to be fully complete. You don't have to be fully perfect. You don't have to be fully mature. You know, you don't have to be 60 years old or 40. He begins to work in your life. Hallelujah. And I was talking to one of my brothers. I went to church. Anybody want to testify before I go on? All right, then. I'm just going to testify then. Well, I was going to church, and I was about 5, 6, 7 months old in the Lord, and I was going to learn. I wanted to learn. I read the Bible, didn't mean nothing to me. I mean, I couldn't understand nothing in that Bible at all. But I didn't let that stop me, because I'd heard them preachers on TV, you know, renew your mind to the Word of God, and it'll begin to transform you. And I began to meditate on the Word, like they said, and meditate on the Word, renewing my mind to the Word of God in areas that I was in poverty. I was in jealousy, jealous of my mate. I'm not jealous at all today because of the power of the gospel. The power of the Word of God, the power of doing the Word of God. I was going, and he has preached a sermon that night, and he preached on witchcraft and began to explain what witchcraft was. And he said, you can operate in witchcraft as a Christian if you want to. And I thought, oh, man, that's not possible. We've been, you know. But I was listening to him. He said, let me give you an example. He said, say your washing machine goes out. He said, and you're believing God for a washing machine. You're believing God to supply for you a washing machine. He said, and then you go to church. He said, and then you let everybody know that you say it out of your mouth, I'm believing God now for a washing machine, and you're telling people. He said, but in reality, he said, you're not really believing God. He said, you're letting people know so that maybe somebody has a washing machine and they'll give it to you. And I left and I thought, man, I don't like that. I couldn't let nobody know my needs anymore. Come on, somebody. I know you're quiet, but let me tell you something. I'm releasing something to you. So I left there and I thought, well, bless God, if that's witchcraft, you know, well, then I'm not going to operate in that. And then I laid there at night and I couldn't go to sleep. I'm thinking about the sermon, you know. And I'm thinking, I wonder if it works. And I've never been able to wear a wristwatch. I don't know why they quit on me. I don't know why. But I just always thought I got anointed and it can't handle the anointing. But anyways, I laid there that night and I thought, I'm going to see if this works. I want to know if I can operate in witchcraft or not. So I plotted this thing. My younger brother, he wore watches, you know. And so I go in the next morning when he comes in to work. We was in business together. And he come in to work and I tell him, I'm standing around there and I said, you know what? I said, bless God, I'm just going to believe God for me a watch. And I said, what kind is your watch? I said, and he told me what kind it was. And I said, I want one just like that. I want one just like, I'm going to believe God for one. And I stood there saying that. And I'm doing it on purpose. And he stood around there a few minutes and he said, well, you know what? I'll be blessed by giving you mine. I'll just give you mine. I'll believe God for one. And I took his watch and I said, you just lost your watch to witchcraft. He said, what? I said, I just used witchcraft on you. I said, I heard a sermon last night, bless God, and he brought out scriptures and all of that. I said, I used my need on your emotions. I said, and you fell for it. So I handed his watch back. And I said, I didn't really want it, man. I said, I just was excited to see if that really worked. I said, and it works. I said, it works. I said, I'm going to know from now on, you know, I'm not telling nobody what I'm believing God for because I want to know when it's God showing up for me and when it's not Him showing up for me. I said, and I can see right now that I can get things by my words from people that have love and compassion towards one another. And so it wasn't too long down the road, man. Me and Teresa, we needed some finances or something. We needed about $500 is what we needed. I mean, I wanted to tell people, get in agreement with me that God will meet my need. I mean, I wanted to do it, Johnny, and I thought I'm not going to do it. I thought I'm going to affirm to myself that this Jesus that saved me, I knew I was saved. If you don't know you're saved tonight, then that's why you can't believe God. You cannot believe God outside of Him. The Bible says that flesh, this natural man, don't receive the things of God. But it's your heart, it's your spirit. And so if you don't know if you're born again or not, well then you're probably not. Because the Bible says that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit in here that we are the sons of God. There's a knowing. I can't explain it, but I know it. There's just an I know that I know that I know. And that's the way the rest of it happens. Well, I told Teresa, me and Teresa come in agreement that He'd supply our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So you've got to know the Word. And so We just sat out and praise God. I didn't go around sad. I didn't go around can't do nothing. I did whatever I had to do at that moment to do. That's what you do. And then the power of God begins to help you, strengthen you, keep you, hold you up till it comes. Right? Keep you encouraged till it comes. Right? When you're really believing God, everything you need, whether it's spiritually, naturally, He takes care of you until the promise, what you're believing, comes. Well, I got a phone call about a week and a half after I started believing God, and it was one of my brother's boys. He knew nothing about my finances, nothing. For all he knew, I was doing good. He called me up, and he said, hey, you got a minute? I said, yeah. He said, man, I've been battling with this for about a week and a half. I said, what is it, man? Because I was thinking, you know, I'm going to be able to talk to him or whatever. He said, God told me to give you $500. I said, where are you at? I said, you got my money. I've been believing God for a week and a half for this. I needed it week before last. See, sometimes you got a bit. My point is, he showed up. And then I thought, glory be to God. He showed up again. He showed up. He showed up and met our needs, praise God. And that was about 3 or 4 or 5 months old in the Lord. I got a phone call today from a financial service that offered me assistance in my business 5 years ago. And he said, I'm looking for Travis or Scotty. And I said, this is Scotty. And he said, I was looking back through my old files. He said, and 5 years ago, he said, we talked, and you was going to buy a scissor lift. He said, I was just wondering. He said, I know it's been 5 years. He said, I was just wondering if I could help you with anything like that. He said, and I said, no. I said, I pay cash for everything. I said, fact of the matter, I done owned 2 scissor lifts since then, and I have no need for it. He said, that's what I figured. I figured you'd probably done worked your way to paying. I said, I made it. Well, and in my heart, when I was talking to him, I'm going back down yonder 5 years ago. The first scissor lift I bought, I did borrow the money for it, and I paid it off early. That's the last thing that I think that I've ever borrowed. No, I might have bought something. But anyways, anyhow, we paid cash for the other one. Now, why I'm telling you that, I'm giving you testimony of the power of God. You see, it wasn't about the scissor lift. It was about he said he would supply all of my needs. I needed one. Whatever you need. If you need things in the natural. If you need things spiritually, if you need breakthroughs in your marriage, if you need breakthroughs with your kids, if you need breakthroughs, if you need breakthroughs in your finances, he is the God of breakthroughs. But he is the God of breakthroughs to those that call on him, those that lean on him, that trust in him. And we learn how to do that by experience. In other words, you try it. Then when you get it, do it again. Do it again. The Bible says he takes us from faith to faith. Now I'm standing here tonight and I believe that my God, I believe that the one that I know, Jesus, I believe that my Father God, Jesus is the image of him. He was God made flesh. He is the image of the invisible God. I believe that there's nothing that he can't do for you. I believe there is not anything impossible here in Bluntsville. I believe that all things are possible because we believe. I believe that he's able. Give me that scripture, Beth. I want to show you this scripture. It says, now unto him, who is he talking about? God. That is able. I looked up the word able. Now unto your God, you say that you're saved, who is able. Able means having the power. Having the power, having the means, having the skills, and having all the resources. Now unto God, he is able. He has the power. He has the power to break through into your marriage. He has the power to break through into your financial life. He has the power to take you from debt to freedom. He has the power to break poverty in your life if you let him. Everything we do is not because we learn Scripture and we obtain in our own power this power. This power is Christ in you and Christ in me, the working power of God in us. In us, for us, through us. You know, I thought about the scripture today and I've heard people say, and they don't mean to, but they make excuses. They say, well, all of sin and come short of God's glory. That was before Jesus, by the way. Come on, somebody. How many knows we have been accepted in the Beloved? How many knows he covered our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins? He covered it. That don't give me a license to go live any. I don't just live any way I want to because I'm saved. Right? I don't make myself do all that. That's works. I endeavor to be like him. I endeavor to do the right thing. I endeavor to do, and that is me walking in the righteousness that has already come into my life through Christ Jesus. So he is able. And I thought about the scissor lifts. I believe God for those. I did. In the last one, we believe God, and we believe God not to borrow anything for it, to pay cash for it, to pay for it up front. See, if you don't dream and move forward, well, then this power can't work. When you ain't got anything and you need everything, then is when you build yourself up in Him, in His Word. I mean, get it going in your ears. Get it going in your ears. In your flesh don't want to do it. It don't want to hook up on a sermon when you're sick. It don't want to hook up on a sermon on finances when you're broke and behind and can't figure out how to pay everything. I was preaching here, and I was going down the same thing I preach now. I ain't got nothing different to preach. This Bible don't change. The power of God don't change. God don't change. Healing ain't changed. All of it is there. It stays the same. That's why we can have confidence in God that He is faithful. He is stable. He is resourceful. He's skillful. He's powerful. Well, I'm here and I've got a crowd of about 50 or 60 or 70. I got some tag swappers in the house. You know what that means? Take it off one car and put it on another one because you don't want to buy a tag for that one. But if you get caught, it's on the run. You're going to jail. All kind of stuff. Got all kind of people in the house. Got some people that their husbands are in prison for. They dug the marijuana up in the ground, sent him to prison. And he brought his family down here and said, God said to take care of them. You're telling me to take care of them? I told him, I said, well, if God told you to bring them here, then He will take care of them. I can't. Right? I said, God, if you're leading your family, I said to him, and he said, bring them here, then God will take care of them. And he did. He did the whole time. But anyways, I'm preaching to these people and they ain't got no jobs, ain't got no money, everybody broke. And I'm coming in here and I'm finding out what God wants me to preach on because I don't know how to fix nobody, right? You don't know how to fix yourself. You don't know how to fix all your problems. You don't know how to take care of things when it's out of your control. You don't know how to take care, but God does. God is very skillful. God moves in and He fixes what we can't fix. That's why He said, lean not to our own. And I don't know why God ain't showing up. Look, I told somebody the other day, I said, if God can't show up for you, there ain't nothing wrong with God. I said, there ain't nothing wrong with God. I said, there's no shortage in power. There's no shortage in His supply. There's no shortage in Him. I said, so if He can't show up for me, then I need to check up on me. Right? I mean, we don't never let Satan play games with us about God. God is all-knowing, able, right? Able. God is, and we read the other day, the Bible said that He don't get weak or weary. He don't get wore out. He don't get wore out like we do if we let ourselves. He don't get wore down with all His kids' trouble all over this planet. Do you know they're constantly crying out to God? Right? Dumping all their cares. He wants them to. Dumping all of them over on them. Why? He's able. He's able to take care of all His kids on the planet all at one time. He's awesome, ain't He? Well, I'm preaching on prosperity. I'm preaching on tithing. I'm preaching on give and it shall be given to people that ain't got no money, Matt. You know, But I know how that this works. And so anyhow, this lady comes to me. And she said, they think you're just after money. I said, well, they're wrong. She said, it sounds like you're just after money. And I said, well, I'm not. I said, but you know what? I said, I'm going to go to God. I'm telling you, I'm testifying. I'm testifying how persecution comes to you sometimes when you set out to do good. You set out to prosper people. You set out to give out what you know works, you know, out testifying that because faith comes by hearing. I've heard these men, you ain't got no trouble. All you need's faith in God. And faith rose up. He was testifying, Johnny. That ain't no scripture. That's not a scripture. I told glory to God, all I need's faith. I got that. I got faith in God. I ain't got no, I went around saying out of my mouth, I ain't got no troubles. All I've got is faith in God. I ain't got no trouble. I'd run into trouble and I'd go around, I ain't got no troubles. I got faith in God. And they'd be like, he's went loony on us. It worked though. Before you know it, I had it in you. I'm like, glory to God. Glory to God. And I seen God do signs, wonders, and miracles in my, still see them today. Still seen them 5 years ago. Still see them today. Some of y'all are here. You're miracles. You should have been dead. You should have died a long time ago. You should have been took out. You should not have anything had it not been for God. Hallelujah. Now what was I saying? Somebody help me. Anyways, I got my scissor list paid off, all of them. I don't owe anybody anything today. And I'm telling you, and people say, well, you shouldn't tell those stories in church. These people feel bad because they don't have a lot. I said, no, I got to tell it because they're going there. Yeah. Praise God, Jesus ain't no respecter. Right. He's not. Now, the world and religious people want to say he is. I just read today, he said, Lord, I was on my deathbed. Lord, he said, and you reached down and you raised me up to full health. I said, that's my scripture right there. That one's mine. If he did it for him, then he said he's no respecter of persons. Praise God, hallelujah, Lord, you'll keep me sound, healthy. And I thought I'm going to go to church and I'm going to tell them, get on with this bird flu, monkey flu, whatever flu, this bug, these bugs. I even slipped in on me and I'm like, this is not going to, I don't get sick. And I thought I hadn't been saying it. I don't ever get sick. I ain't got time to get sick. I'm the healed of God. The word is working mightily in me. Prayed, so I got on it. Started taking my medicine again. Just because I know it don't mean it works. I know there's antibiotics sitting on the counter, and I'm thinking, I ain't going to take that, man. You know, do you think that antibiotic's going to work? It can't. It's sitting in the bottle. Got to be in you. And the doctor says, if he gives you antibiotic, take the full measure, you know, 5 days, 7 days, let it work its course, and you don't want to stop at 3, so we take it a whole 5 day. Why? Because we believe what that doctor said, and we take it, and it works. Well, the word is medicine to our flesh, the Bible says. See, God wants you to know, and according to Scripture, that it pleases Him to meet your financial needs. It pleases Him for you to walk in divine health. It pleases Him. I watched two teenagers, so she calls herself. I've watched these teenagers right here for the last 7 years, five, 7 years, long time. And I've seen them go through blank in the hallway, so to speak. We got kids in here. Some trouble in the hall, trouble in their life, trouble in their, lose their jobs. I've seen them go through and then, you know, come out on Facebook and she said something. If you see us acting like teenagers, I'm not going to quote you word for word. I don't know what it said. If you see us acting like teenagers, you know, it's because we've had some other people, what or whatever it said, in our life that, and now we're got to and enjoying it. I messed it up, didn't I? Anyhow, I walk in the, I'm testifying for you. I watched you. I watched you in hard times go after God. I watched you fast. I watched you stay in church. I don't know what went on. I don't ever want to know what went on. But I know it wasn't good. I know that it tried to tear and separate and destroy and kill. Whatever it was, don't matter to me what it was. What matters is what I saw. I saw the faith of God in them. I saw them walk through. I saw them enjoy life while they were on their hard journey. And I also know what the scripture says. He said, you went through the fire, you went through the flood, but I brought you out to a wealthy place. Now, I've used that scripture, and I know that that scripture, I believe that scripture for me. I believe it for you. He said, I brought you out to a wealthy place, an abundant place. I remember back when it seemed like I couldn't do nothing but be in trials. And every time it seemed like I was getting ahead, something else would happen in the business, in my personal finances, all kinds of things. And I remember thinking, I know this scripture, God is going to work. I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to be like Jacob. I believe it was, wasn't it? Wrestling with the angel. I'm going to be like him, Lord. He carried a limp on account of that. And he said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And he did. He wouldn't let it go. And I thought about Elijah and Elisha. I thought about that back yonder, you know, and I thought, man, this man tried, Elijah tried to get Elisha to just stop. Stop following me. He did, man. He said, I'm just paraphrasing. You go read the story. He said, I'm not. He said, no. Nah. He said, I want a double portion of that. He said, if you see me when I go up, he said, you can have it. And then try to get him to quit. I don't know, man. Maybe he got tired of him. I don't know, but something was happening. Right? And I thought, I'm going to hang on. If you are called here. If you are called here, if God has led you here, then you hang here. You hang here. I don't care if revival breaks out across the street and it seems dry here. You hang in God's will. You stay in God's will. Because in God's will is where you're going to run into that abundant place. You're going to run into it. I know church don't seem like it's very important, but I'm telling you, it started in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. And the only reason that there seems to be no power sometimes in the church is not the church. It's the people not hungry. It's the people not going after in their own personal life. We got to go after God. And when we go after God, he said, seek me and you find me, right? That's what the scripture says. He said, if you hunger for me, hunger and thirst, you'll be filled with me. Hallelujah. And I thought, I'm not going to leave my church. They all kinds of things tried to get me to leave my church and I won't go in. I'm testifying. And I knew that was God's will. I knew that's where God wanted us. I knew that's where I was getting spiritually fed in my living room, but not like up there. It was like different. It was like, I don't know, it was just different. I just knew this. See, the Bible says that we have many instructors, but we don't have many fathers. See, and I knew that my pastor was my spiritual father. And so I'm hanging there. I'm not leaving. Even when God told me to, I thought, man, I got it made up here, man. I'm working in the ministry, you know. I mean, we got different ministries, but we're going to have more ministries. Matt's fixing to be a lawnmower ministry. He's going to be anointed at hair going, everybody's going to be like, oh, who's that? That's Matt. Is that Matt? Golly, Mom, he done mowing for the church. Everybody needs to see that testimony. People know this man here in Bluntsville on the other side. Now they see Jesus. See, sometimes me and you are the only Jesus people are going to see. He's a testimony. Did you go through trials, Mac, to stay here? He did. He walked up to me the other night. I know he won't mind. I'm standing up. I was looking down. I'm like, man, I'm tall up here, baby. You let him look up to Mac. Monty's the only one shorter than me in here, I think. Praise God. I told him about Monty one day. I said, you're looking up at me, ain't you? Mac, I mean, Satan tried everything, just like he has. He's trying to get me to quit. I told the pastor the other day, I said, out of 23 years, I said, I've been going to quit. I wanted to quit a million times because of trials and the way you feel and different things. I said, it don't matter what comes to get you to get out of the will of God. I said, the main thing is you ain't going to yield to it. You're just not going to bow to it. He walked up to me the other night. He said, I feel like you're a father figure to me. I said, Mac, I am. I'm your spiritual father. I'm not his instructor. He gonna have many instructors. He gets things from and all of that stuff. But wherever God's planted you, and I'm talking to y'all out there in Facebook land, you may not be supposed to be here, but you need to hang at your. You need to be hang at your church. If that's where God has planted you, praise God. Don't let your car stop. Don't let your wife. Don't let your neighbor showing up on the nights you have service stop you. Get a track record, and they won't even stop. They'll stop knocking on your door on church night. If they show up, tell them bring your clothes next time, because we got to go to church, and we'll see you next Wednesday night. You know, all of them that's used by the enemy that's trying to stop you, they won't come around more. Right. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? I thought to myself, I thought I want a double portion of the anointing that's on my pastor. I want it. I want it. But God, he's changed my life. He's changed my wife's life. And pray God, he's helped me learn how to be a father to my son. He's helped me learn how to be a husband to my wife. You know, and I want that when I minister. I mean, I want that. Whatever he's got, I want it, because I'd read the story about Elijah and Elisha. And so I started desiring it. So I went up one night and I told him, I said, hey, Brad, I said, I want a double portion of the anointing that's on you. I want you to pray that God will give me that double portion. He looks at me. Okay. So he prayed for me. And he'd always say, if you've ever noticed him preaching, he would say, I'm testifying to you. I'm not talking about me. That wasn't my desire. The Bible says it's God working in you to want to mow. It's God working in you to want to tote boxes. Right? It's God working in you to want to play instruments. God working in you to make you want to sing. God in you, that's God. God was giving me the desire to want that double portion. Well, when I started preaching, I noticed every time I'd say, how many knows? And I'm like, that was Brad. And then I noticed people, they'd come to me, and they're like, boy, I'm telling you, that's exactly what I needed. I thought, now I'm getting, that's what I thought about Brad. But see, it was just the same Jesus. It was just that desire. He wanted that desire fulfilled in me. He put that in me, puts it in you. Whatever you're called to do, you're called. Well, I don't know what I'm called. Don't be concerned about it right now. Just don't even be concerned about it right now. Just pursue him. Just go after him. And when you see opportunity, you want to serve and you want to do, just find your place. Do that. Just do that. You know, I used to have a board here. I'd go to them, bring things to them. It was always a fight, so I just killed the board, and I just got rid of it. Well, I heard a preacher preach here. He said, you know, if you got a, he said if an ox gets in a hole on Sunday one time, he said, go get it out. He said, but if that ox gets in a hole every week, he said, you better shoot the ox. And I thought, this is every week. I got to shoot that ox. So I got rid of it. Then I just take things that I feel like the Lord and the Lord wants to do to the elders. I used to appoint deacons, and it would just, I mean, it just fatten their head up. Deacon. Then you'd see them all. I'm a deacon now. Walking around where they was. Hey, brother. I thought, oh, my God, I'm killing these people, man. They let this stuff go strictly to their head right quick. What does that mean, a deacon? That means you're an overseer. That means you got more responsibility. That means you keep things together. That means you put the light bulb in back there. Put the thing on a cover where they don't get electrocuted back there. That means you start serving. How many knows we're all servants? Hallelujah. I had open heart surgery 5, 6, 7 years ago, whatever it was. Didn't have no insurance. And y'all know the story, but the Lord told me to tell it again. And you need to leave here and say, my God, he is big. He's good. Man, if he can do that, my lot bill ain't nothing. My lot bill, he's able. He is able. He's got the power. I looked at a fella the other day and he's talking about, you know, wilderness and this and that, you know, and all of that stuff, you know. And I said, look, I said, the Bible ain't changed. I said, the Bible says that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above, greater than we can think or ask, according to the power. What power? I thought, what power, Lord? What power we got here going on in this scripture right here? You know what it reminded me of? He reminded me of the same power that raised Jesus, that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He said, this power towards you, which is for you, which is in you. He said that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand. That's what kind of power is working in us. I don't feel very spiritual. That's your problem. Quit feeling. This kingdom's not feeling. Feelings and emotions. I know I'm anointed. I know I'm blessed. I know I'm anointed to prosper. I don't wonder. I know. And so because I'm anointed to do it, I get in them scriptures. I renew my mind to them scriptures. I rehearse those scriptures. I walk around saying that I am favored of God. I got the favor of God on me. I just told the Lord today, I said, thank you, Lord, that I'm growing and my church is growing just like Jesus did, and they're gaining favor with man and favor with God. Hallelujah. That the story that he brought to us about Ruth, you know, and the favor of God was there. And the favor brought her into that wealthy place. You went through the fire, you went through the flood, but he brought her out to a wealthy place. Right? Hallelujah. You say, well, I can't see. You got to get the word. The word is how you're going to be able to have vision to see through all the way through all the things that you can't understand how and you don't see how. You can't see how God can fix it. God's word will give you vision. My marriage looked impossible. That's why I was going to commit suicide. My son was 1.5 years old and I could just see her getting with somebody that I hated or something, you know, and they wouldn't take care of my son. And I loved my son. Just didn't know how to love him. I wasn't born again. And I thought, well, I'll kill both of them. And I thought, I can't do that. I just cannot do that. I could not even imagine that. Some people do. They listen to those devilish thoughts. You know, that was one way of getting rid of my problem. Then I thought, nah, man, I won't entertain that. That's sicko. You know, and then I thought, well, I'll get out of here. But God, I'm not afraid to die or nothing like that. And, you know, and I'll just get on out of here. Praise God. I didn't say praise God, you know, but I'll just get out of here. That's the only way I could see to end it. And I thought, well, I won't know nothing then. That'd kill the pain. But you know what? Down there in there, your prayers was answered. Now, I'm sure my mama, my pawpaw, whoever was praying. So I want you to know, don't give up on nobody. Don't quit praying. Don't quit believing. No matter what it looks like, because God will answer your prayer. He will answer. And I got born again that day. Well, I had open heart surgery, Mac. Didn't have no insurance. And I really didn't even want to ride the ambulance from Coleman down there because of no insurance. But the doctor wouldn't let me leave. You know, now you got to go in ambulance. So I'm praying in tongues. And people say, well, I don't believe in tongues. You don't have to. But I do. I got it. Baptism of the Holy Spirit changed my whole game. It changed my whole believing system, seemed like. Well, I'm in the ambulance and I'm praying in tongues and they're looking back at her like, what's wrong? Is he speaking in Spanish or something? I don't know what they're thinking. I really didn't care what they're thinking. And I'm declaring that I will not have a mountain of debt in the name of Jesus. I'm on the interstate in that ambulance. And I'm coming against that before I got there. Well, make a long story short, end of the 2 or 3 weeks I was down there, started getting the bills, and I owed $130,000+. So I applied for assistance. I was denied. They said, fill out this other. I called them, fill out that other paperwork. They sent me some more. So I sent it to them. They denied it. I was denied. I made too much money. I told them, I said, well, y'all go and buy my gross. You know, and they're like, you make too much money? Denied, denied, denied. And I wouldn't quit. I thought, okay, all right then. That's the way it is. They're not going to give me no assistance. Then, glory to God, I'm going to agree with them, and you'll pay it for me, God. I'll make payments on it. So I made up my mind that I'm going to pay $500 a month, $250 on the $130,000, $250 on the $17,000 or $18,000, whatever it was, doctors. It was $145,000, something like that. Well, anyways, I picked up the phone and see, now I'm going not by how I want to do. I wanted to go bankrupt on it. I thought to myself, I'll pay for this the rest of my life. I'll never get this paid off at $500 a month, $140,000, $50,000, $60,000. Took me 15 years to pay for my house at $1,000 a month nearly. And so I thought, well, the Bible says, swear to your own hurt, change not. Now you're making a decision to do right. Come on, somebody. Swear to your own hurt, change not. I owed the bill. I thought it was too high. If I'd have knew all of that, I would have took all the painkillers. I'd have brought a bottle or three home with me. I'd have saved them up in a bottle. You know, brought them home. Now take them. All the pain's here. It's at home. And I had these thoughts. I've ruined our life. I've ruined it. I mean, we're in financial debt for the rest of our life. I did it. I brought this burden on my family. All of these devilish thoughts are going to start coming to you of all the things you should not eat the bacon. It may not be that for you, whatever it is. But anyways, you know, I thought, I don't care. I don't care. I can't change the past. How many knows God is not the accuser? Satan is. Satan will bring it up. He'll bring it up so you feel condemned, so you feel unworthy, so you feel. But you know what? That's not what we're supposed to do. Paul says forgetting, he killed people. He had them killed. He was killing Christians. I mean, do you think that bothered him after he got saved? I'm sure it tried to. But he knew that he was born again. He knew that he was a new creation. He knew that old things passed away and all things become new. He wrote it, right? He experienced it, hallelujah. And then he began to work the faith of God that he had through Jesus Christ. And so I just got up in my faith, hallelujah. I made the phone call and I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay $500 on this, $250 on this, and $250 on this, $500 a month. I'm going to agree to pay that. She comes back and she said, you know, I don't know. I went to my blah, 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 whatever it was, somebody over me, and they said, since you was willing to do that, if you'll pay $500 today, then they're going to cancel the hospital bill, which is $130,000. And I says, by golly, don't hang up. I'll be right back. Let me get my card. I come back, and in one instant of me making the righteous choice to pay that bill and my faith that God would do it, however, if I had to walk it out, pay it off early, believe it in early, whatever. My faith was still in God, and God was able to come up and say, cha-ching, I canceled that for you. Well, she said, but she wants you to pay the $500 to the doctors. I said, that's fine. I said, that's absolutely fine. And I believe that's when Sandy come, wasn't it? And said that felt like the Lord wanted.
No, that was the
Safeway deal. Ooh, there's another miracle. I ain't got time to tell you that one. That one was a good one. That one's about $15,000 or so. But anyways, all of that was canceled. And then I started believing God. Say, look, if he can cancel $130,000 for this boy right here that said they told me don't come to Bluntsville, that I couldn't have a business in Bluntsville. Lost, wealthy man said you can't have a business in Bluntsville. And I told my brother I would just got saved enough to believe. It'd be dangerous. See, don't get undangerous when you get up and you experience the word and get to thinking, well, I know the word. I don't really need to. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't let that word get familiar to you, you know, because that word's alive. It's fresh. There's cows in there I didn't know was in there later in life, you know, man. There's things in there. I mean, I just found out today that he was on his deathbed. I thought, glory to God, hallelujah. I don't remember ever reading that, Lord. He said, well, you did. You forgot it. Need to read it again. He canceled that $130,000. We believed God and we paid it off early. We paid it off for, I don't owe no doctor bills, no nothing, no house pay. Don't tell me you ain't real. I know you're not trying to. Don't let Satan tell you that God can't do it for you, that you was raised in poverty. They were 17 of us. I was raised in poverty. Commodities was Christmas every month. The rest of the time, I don't know what we eat, whatever we could get our hands on. But you know what, praise God, I broke the back of poverty through Jesus Christ in my life. And I'm going to increase, give me that oven, Beth, before I run out of time. No, wait a minute, I got to do this. Now unto him that is able, he's got the power to do exceedingly. That means beyond. Exceeding means more than. Beyond what? He says exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I can ask pretty big stuff. And he's able to do beyond that. And he has exceeded that in my life. I just had a thought. I would like for me and Travis to buy land together. That's just a father-son thing, man, I think. I don't know if every father has that, but I mean, he didn't help me clean it off, but I'm going to charge him for it when we sell it. But anyways, I just wanted to have me and him to have land together. Just had the thought. And I just set it out, you know, and we worked together, so we ride together a lot. And so I just told him, I said, yeah, we ought to get some land one day. Buy some land together one day. I don't know if he paid any attention. Yeah. He's all up in Beth, you know. Babe. I said, babe. Yeah. Well, anyways, it wasn't too long, went by. I just had a flat, and I normally didn't go up there because the dude had sold it out to somebody else, and I really didn't care for the attitude at the entire place, but I was in a hurry, and I run up there, and just so happened this millionaire was there. And he was telling me, he said, what are you doing, getting the tire fixed? And I said, yeah. He said, well, hurry up and go pay him so he can pay me my rent. And I said, well, that ain't none of my business there. You know, ain't nothing to me there about the rent there. I said, maybe he will, you know. And he said, hey, Scott, he said, I want to sell you that land over there. And he tried to sell it to me in 1996 for $135,000 standing full of timber, 40 acres. And I told him then, I bought this, I believe in God, and we'd bought this right here after we rented a little bit, started believing God, this is a miracle, this building. But anyways, he goes on and he said, I need to sell you that, Scott, I blah, 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 you know. And he said, I don't need that land, Odyssey, I don't need nothing else. And he said, I'm going to sell you that land for $12,500. I said, the 40 acres? He said, yeah. I said, by God, let's get the deeds out. And so I thought, take advantage of that old man, you know. So I went and told Trish. I said, I feel like I'm taking advantage of that old man. I said, he made the deal, but, you know. So I just made up my mind, I'm not going back. And he called me 3 days later, chewed me out, make a long story short, 40 acres for $12,500. That was God. That was absolutely God. Hallelujah. And so if you need land, your land is in the Bible. He said he told them, I'm taking you to a land. He said you'll live in houses that you didn't make. You got to get in Deuteronomy and say, my house is in here, God, if you really want a house. Get your house out of there, put it on your refrigerator, the scripture, and meditate on it till you know where it's at. I know what the scripture said, Deuteronomy over there, 8:18. For it's the Lord that gives me power to obtain wealth. He gives me the ability, the exceeding, the power. Hallelujah. His name was Jesus. So I want to encourage you, you know. Yeah, give me that other scripture. We'll stop with that. For the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. I'm believing that for you. Did you hear me? It's not natural wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. He said, this is a prayer he's praying, Paul's praying. May give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Go ahead, Beth. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. See, he said that the power that is toward us, we have it. You know, when I was going through all that doctor stuff, I had to come preach. The hospital, I had to come preach. See, whenever you're going through, it's not about me preaching. It was about what am I going to do? How am I going to respond? Am I going to still preach the same thing? Am I going to believe the same thing? Am I going to have the joy of the Lord stay and abide in me? Or am I going to give in to these things and get discouraged? Had a guy going to church here, and he had got into a lot of trouble, and he's got the last court day, and they're going to sentence him. He's going for sentencing, going before the judge. And he's over there, and he's like, I might not be back. I said, don't say that. I said, why are you saying that? Well, man, I'm going before the judge, and you know how them judges, and blah, 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 blah. And so I told him, I said, well, let me tell you what you need to do. I said, you got born again. I said, are you really saved? It's Shannon. Yeah, I'm saved, Brother Scotty. I said, good. I said, you've been redeemed from all of that. You've been redeemed from the curse that you was living under and give in to all that and got yourself in trouble. I said, now you have entered into mercy. I said, mercy has and favor has come your way. I said, so tomorrow or whenever I told him, I said, whenever you go before that judge, I said, you go in there with your head high in Jesus. I said, and you go in there, I said, and you don't go in there and try to get favor with all the judges. Don't go in there with the DA and try to get them, you know, get in. I said, have faith in God. I said, go in there believing that God will cause him to show you favor. God will. I said, and we're going to see you back in church in Jesus' name. And we did. Y'all heard him testify. God began to move in his life. They had favor. He should have went to jail. They done told him, you're going to get 10 or 15 years for this. Whatever it was not good. But he turned it around. You know why I was able to tell him that, Sandy? Because I went to the jail and God prophesied and they're waiting to be extradited. Told me to tell them. Tell them that they're going home tomorrow. I didn't even know them. I just thought in my head, I said, God said to tell you, you're going home tomorrow. And I left, you know, and I come back the next Sunday and they, hey, preacher, preacher. And I stuck my head in there and they say, hey, you know that you said going home? And I said, yeah, she got to go home. I said, well, the Lord said, but you don't understand. She was waiting to be extradited. She done been before the judge and been sentenced. And I said, now y'all know the power of God. And I left there, hallelujah. So then when it come down here to church, I'm like, oh yeah, we going to see a miracle, baby. All you got to do is believe. See, get out of that same old, I've been to church. Get out of all of that. We all go to church. It ain't about going to church. It's about believing God to meet our needs. It's about standing out in the middle of the desert, wherever we at, saying, God, it's going to rain. Glory to God, I see the size of a man's hand. I see a cloud, hallelujah. It's on its way, God. See, expectation brings a manifestation of what you're really believing for. I'm believing, God, that you will get promotions on your job this year. I'm believing, God, for supernatural favor on your jobs this year. I'm believing, God, that if you're in business for yourself, that it will quadruple this year. That you will just come out of this year and you'll say, glory to God, what a wonderful year, glory to God. I'm believing, God, that some of you will be debt-free this year. You'll get you a new house this year. Me and Teresa are going to build us one. We're going to build it debt-free. We're not borrowing. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're going to build us. She started out with tiny, and now she's like, I need a little upstairs. And I'm like, here we go. I thought we'd stay a little. And then she looks, and then she's like, hey, look at this. And it's got this big, beautiful glass in the front. I'm like, ooh, we're going to believe Jesus big. She didn't say that's what she wanted. She just looking. How many knows you need to dream? Whatever you have a desire in your heart, the Bible says commit your way to God. He'll give you desire in your heart. Serve Him, hallelujah, and commit it to Him. He said, and He'll bring it to pass. People, I mean, God's people think they got to go over yonder and buy lottery tickets and believe God to hit the jackpot. I've never bought a lottery ticket. I've always said, seen it in the Bible, and it says nobody is going to say they made me rich but God. And I took that scripture out of there and I said, that one's mine, God. I'm not going to gamble. I'm not going to ever buy a lottery ticket, but God. And I've had people come in agreement, I'm going to bingo that I'll win tonight. Ask God. I said, I will not do it. What about those other folk? What if they believing against you? I said, nah. I said, I'll believe with you that you'll go to work somewhere and God will anoint the works and bless the works of your hands. And then you'll know that He did it. I said, I'm not coming in agreement with you. I started to rent a billboard sign and put it up in Oneonta. Praise God. God is not into gambling. They gambled for Jesus' clothes, cast lots for it, and His bodies don't need to gamble. Oh, if y'all gambling, well, she fits where it. Now, but believe God. I mean, just let God sit down, and I mean believe God, and confess those scriptures. Go over them in your mind and heart daily if you need to. Do it every day. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm having to encourage pastors not to quit because members don't want to go to church. And I'm like, hang in there, man. Just hang in there. And they're coming from the north, south. I give them ours. They're coming from the north, south, the east, and the west. They replaced me. They replaced me with a guy who wouldn't go do it down in Oneonta. So if he needs to, he'll replace them that won't be faithful, and he'll load you up with benefits, even the God of your salvation. And you will have double. I'm believing God for 15 or 20 instrument players and all of that. Somebody's gone. We'll see next week. We'll be like, hey, they wasn't there. Didn't even notice it. Right? Believe for more than enough. Hallelujah. God's more than enough, God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we thank you, Father.